I thought it apropos to look at the three places in the scriptures where it talks about turning, or what it says is the moon will be as blood. So the first one is in Joel, chapter 2. But you can understand how the holy man and the men that were aware of solar and lunar eclipses could really, in their power was over that. I mean, you know, the shaman says, unless such and such happens, the moon is going to turn into blood. But the scriptures say the same thing. So Joel 2. Starting verse 28. Everybody there? Do you have a page number for
949?
Starting verse 28. And it shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall dream dreams, and your young men shall see visions. And also the servants and upon the handmaids in those days will I pour out my spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. And the sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and the terrible day of the Lord come. And shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. So that's a famous one. Let's go to Acts 2 now. This is Peter's address at Pentecost to the whole assembly, which was massive. It's connected with here, with the speaking in different languages or speaking in tongues. So let's go to starting verse 4, chapter 2. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And they were dwelling at Jerusalem, Jews, devout men out of every nation under the heavens, or under heaven. I mean, this is, remember, this was that 70th week. And they came for Passover and stayed for Pentecost. Everybody thought that this was the end. Now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in his own language. So they spake in tongues, not by having some kind of gibberish. They spoke in tongues because they were there men and women from every country of the world almost. And they heard, the people that were from other countries heard them speak in their own tongue, in their own language, which was, Now this was noised abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because every man heard them speak in his own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And now hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. So it was the Galileans, which were the follower, mostly the followers of Jesus. Very few followed him the only two that really are spoken of is the family of Mark and the family of Lazarus. That those two families were Judeans, and as far as we know, they were the only two families that became believers before this time of Christ. And now, in verse 8, and how hear we every man in his own tongue wherein we were born? Parthenians, Medes, Elamites, dwellers of Mesopotamia and Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, in Egypt and in parts of Libya, abroad about Cyrene, and strangers of Rome, Jews and proselytes, Cretes and Arabians, we do hear them speak in our tongue the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? And others mocking said, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken unto my words. For these are not drunken, as you suppose, seeing it is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last day, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams, and on my servants and in my handmaids I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before the great and notable day of the Lord shall come. The Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now let's go to Revelation 6. This is the beginning of when they started opening the seals. They just had seen the four horsemen. Then in verse 9, and when he'd opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, How long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them. And it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season, until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood. So this was like a huge deal. As we talked about when we were sitting in the porch, this event this morning, the last time it happened was 150 years ago. So they're very rare that you would see a blood moon. It's actually a blue moon because it's caused by the solar eclipse. And a blue moon doesn't mean the moon is blue, but you've heard all is as rare as a blue moon. A blue moon is when there occurs two full moons in one month. That's called a blue moon for some reason. So this is a blue moon and a red moon. And it hadn't happened in 150 years since the last time. And I'm excited because I still think the end is going to come in my lifetime. I hope. Well, that's not fair. That's selfish. It'll come. The end will come for me in my lifetime. But anyway, I thought you'd get a kick out of seeing, if those of you that saw the blue moon or the red moon this morning, that the scriptures that talk about it. Any response? Pete didn't see it. He stayed in bed.
But anyway, I don't get it. I just don't get it.
Don't get what?
It's a phenomenon that takes place. It's kind of cool, but I don't get the symbolism. I don't quite understand.
Well, I want you to go back in time before everybody had some modicum of education. The only one educated ones were the shaman or priests of different places, like at Stonehenge and at Machu Picchu and other places around the world. They had holy men that studied the astronomy, and so they could predict when a full moon solar eclipse or a lunar eclipse would take place. And they would predict it and tell them that, okay, unless this happens, you're going to see this. You can imagine the power they had over people.
Yeah.
Now, we think sophisticated, but actually we're as dumb as boxes of rocks because we don't pay any attention to it. But to me, something that's repeated three times in the Bible is kind of important. Something about this red moon was important enough to mention three times in the Bible. So, if you don't get that, I don't know what can get you.
Well, it's mentioned three times, but still there's no explanation of symbolism of it, the blood.
The moon will be as blood, as red. Isn't that symbolistic enough for you?
No, not really.
I don't know how to explain it any better.
Yeah, I don't quite know where to go.
They're saying that when this happens, then look for the end.
Well, that's getting closer.
That's getting closer?
Yeah. I mean something. Almost like the moon is symbolically a reflection of the of Christ. Represents the moon and the sun is God.
Well, that's not in the Bible. But
well, I've just heard that symbolism.
That doesn't mean anything.
Except that when there's blood.
I've heard of the moon representing the bride because of the reflection of the sun. I've never heard of Christ representing the moon. But anyway. Yeah.
Well, let's just finish in Revelation 6, the rest of that. In verse 12, "And I beheld when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell unto the earth, even as a fig tree casteth her untimely figs when she is shaken of a mighty wind. And the heavens departed as a scroll when it is rolled together, and every mountain and island were moved out of their place. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men of every bondman and every free man hid themselves in the dens and the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne, and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come, and who shall be able to stand?" Now this it seemed, ever since I first read this many, many years ago, that the great men and the kings, et cetera, of the earth, they knew that what was happening was the wrath of the Lamb. That's what it says they knew. But they hid themselves in caves rather than repent. And the question is, did this remind any of you to repent? That's a sign in the heavens that's about repentance.
I was just thinking how we have very little relationship with the stars and the moon. We have TVs or whatever. You know, we're in our little hubbles, whereas I believe these folks probably watch the stars a lot and meant more to them.
I mean, if you've ever lived in the desert, I mean, it looks, you can almost not see a place where there's a star. I mean, it's just almost all white, especially in what do you call it?
When there's an eclipse in that environment, it has a lot of impact because your kind of life revolves around it, I suppose. Whereas in this culture,
The point of it is, it's both in Revelation and in Joel, all of this is tied to repentance. And so it was in Acts. The three places, the moon becoming blood is tied to repentance. Repentance from what? Repentance from everything except Christ. We must see our death as complete, including the death of our minds, that we might live by faith alone. That's the whole point of repentance. That isn't the case. The garment spotted by the flesh, and you're toast. Is it starting to have more importance?
It's like this. We watched the moon this morning, and the eclipse begins kind of small, and then it gets bigger and bigger and bigger, and it's like understanding. For me, happens the same way. It's more full, more complete. As we talk, it eclipses to the point where, I like the.
And if we were on the desert with no extra light from all the crap we do, then this.
The drama would be.
It actually was red, I'm sure, if we were in the Arizona desert. And now it was just a little bit red. It was a reddish tint.
Semi-rosy.
Because it's going through all of the smog and crap in the atmosphere.
Yeah. Did you see it when it was full eclipse? Could you see it still?
Then I went to bed. No, I didn't go to bed. I went in and took a shower.
Yeah, we were walking, and we stopped and watched and watched and watched, and finally we saw a little bit of the red.
It seemed like it was going much faster when it reached the bottom at a third or something.
That little bit of sliver left, it's kind of
I don't know why it was redder, but they said on the West Coast, California was
really. Well, it would. From my experience and that kind of thing, it's always clear on the desert, but maybe just because it was overlooking over the ocean and there's not all of it. But who knows? But it was.
Just continuing what I was thinking of a few minutes ago, it's like the understanding of the gospel starts with a little bit, and then it gets increased, and then pretty soon it's a full eclipse, and the shadow of God completely blacks out self, and so that to me ties it to.
Then we're buried in baptism.
Yeah.
Never to raise again, I pray. Well, I that's enough for today. I just wanted to spend some time looking at these things. Again, I'm still astounded. And that verse 15 and 6-17. And the kings of the earth, and the great men, and the rich men, and the chief captains, and the mighty men, and every bond man, and every free man, hid themselves in the dens and in the rocks of the mountains, and said to the mountains and rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him that sitteth on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of his wrath is come. And who shall stand? They knew it was the wrath of God, and yet they still couldn't repent. And that's the greatest. The thing to me that's not understandable, how they could know even then that it's the wrath of the Lamb. And they can't, and they still don't repent. And I still wonder why we humans don't repent from ourselves. We must know how evil we are. All of us. There's no good man. The problem is, if you've spent your life people telling you you're a good person, you have a problem. I didn't have that luxury. I don't think anybody but my mother ever said, when she even quit saying I was a good person. I've never had any doubt that I was evil.
Yeah, I had people telling me that when I was younger, and then hearing the preaching of the cross, I know I'm not.
But it's hard, it may be impossible to repent if your whole life you've been told you're good.
I think repentance is a gift. God allows repentance. It's not something everybody can just do. If that was the case, the whole world would repent.
Well, the whole world does repent at times. But they repent and they resurrect themselves right away. I mean, I can remember being drunk, so drunk that I partially wrecked a village in Korea. And I was so drunk I didn't know my name, and they put me in jail, in a Korean jail, which was no nice place. I repented. Another time I drove a Jeep into a honey pot, which is the...
I'm called repentance.
You know what that is. And get me out of this. I don't do anything. As soon as I got out, I forgot about God. But repentance is total from God's standpoint. And there is no man and woman alive that is that has ever lived, that if they don't know their own evilness, they can't repent. It's a gift of God that's to all men. But I don't know why some don't repent. That's what surprises me. Anyhow, that's enough. Any other comments, thoughts, responses? Did you tell Fernando about that bike? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. Did you bring it out?
It was just leaning on the ground by the telephone pole.
It was in the backyard yesterday.
I did. I have right up on those, and those cannot be left on private property.
Do what?
I don't think they can be left on private property. They have all of these.
I don't know.
Charges.
All right, take it, big guy.